Hello friends, we are continuing now with our Egoic Lotus webinar commentaries, and we are working with the crises of the soul. This is program number 14, and we are in esoteric astrology, actually. Some page or another here. Yes, we're on page 265 and 266. And 267, I suppose. Yes. Well, now, in fact, we're beginning with a different slightly different part of the book. So this was 265 and 266, and this one starts from 278 and involves 279. Then we go on to 472. So 278 and 279. We have reviewed three signs of crisis, and they have been Leo, the crisis of individualization, Libra, the crisis of balance, and Capricorn, the crisis of initiation. And we've looked at how these crises can work out in the egoic lotus itself, in the petals of the egoic lotus. Okay. Now, much of this, really all of this material, has been covered in my webinar presentation of esoteric astrology. But here I'm paying more attention to these crises and to the behavior of the signs in relation to the lotus itself. So we're beginning with a section here called Nine Signs and Their Attendant Crises. The relation existing between Virgo and Pisces, between the Virgin Mother and the Fish Goddesses, is well known, for they are polar opposites and function in an interchangeable, and their functions are interchangeable in a peculiar manner. We see this actually in petal number 6, which is ruled by both Virgo from one way of counting and by Pisces in another. They are both ruled or express the same rays, the second and sixth ray. And they both have much to do with the matter aspect. It is said, go forth into matter in relation to Pisces, and in relation to Virgo, let matter reign. So they are connected previously with the third aspect of divinity, and probably in the previous solar system, very much so. Virgo certainly was in the latter part of the previous solar system, DK tells us, and there is a sense in which Pisces represents humanity's engagement with a very, very early aspect, or in a very early aspect of its evolution, its engagement with the waters, the matter of Pisces. In the revolution of the ordinary wheel, Aries and Scorpio mark the beginning and the end, and consummate in the rounded out and equipped personality. It's interesting about Scorpio. It is a triple sign, and it does call for the man to demonstrate on the physical plane all that he is. So, but this is the first time I've really noted here that the rounding out and equipping occurs in Scorpio. But then that is not the initiate equipping, so to speak. They are exoterically the alpha and omega in the life of the disciple. Indeed, Scorpio is particularly the sign of the disciple, and it puts him through the testing process, and three different types of tests have to be undergone with the three types of heads of the Hydra and the first three initiations. At that point, he truly is rounded out in a certain sense He is the initiate. This is a higher sense than the exoteric sense. So they are exoterically the Alpha and Omega. In the life of the disciple, Virgo and Pisces stand in the same relation. Pisces consummates the work carried forward in this major world cycle. It is the sign of consummation, and it brings us to what is called the true achievement and liberation of the man at the fourth degree. I think Pisces, ruled as it is by Pluto, and being a sign of death and yet a sign of salvation, has much to do with the fourth degree. Some idea of the creative story above indicated can be gained if the tabulation of the nine constellations with their signs is studied. And there we have another hint, nine constellations with their signs. The signs are the means of distribution of the energy of the constellations. So let's see if I can, I think that's better. Aries represents the beginning. All undertakings are begun in Aries with the cardinal cross. You see, I think what's being left out here is Libra, Leo, and Capricorn, which were the signs of crisis reviewed in the previous program. Gemini brings us into relation. It represents duality and the interplay between them. It's interesting that there is a he's not taking these in order, unless there's some mistake and we can check it with the earlier with the book itself. But Gemini seems to come before Taurus, and yet all the others are in order. But we'll leave that go for the moment. Taurus represents desire on the fixed cross and the transformation of desire into aspiration. Cancer, it's of the cardinal cross and represents movement forward, I would say, in the process of evolution. It has much to do with the will to evolve. Scorpio, test, trial, and eventually triumph on the fixed cross. Sagittarius, the direction of the tested and purified personality following those tests. Struggle, strength, and Sagittarian attitudes. Those are further tests in Scorpio, and we see how the one sign leads to the other. Aquarius, the dispensation of the waters of life in service. Pisces, salvation. And Virgo, the mother of it all, the sign that provides the form for all of these different processes to be worked through. DK did mention, it's an internal sign in many ways. Just a little earlier, he did mention Cancer, Virgo, and Pisces constitute the triangle of the mother or matter aspect. Conditioned by intelligent activity, they indicate points of opportunity of an inner kind where consciousness is concerned, and therefore you have the recognition of the mass, I would say Cancer, individual consciousness, that is Virgo, it's the individual Christ associated with Leo, and the group consciousness would be Pisces, which is more, we might say, the cosmic Christ or the greater Christ associated with Aquarius. Pisces associated with Aquarius in the same way that Virgo is associated with Leo. So we have nine signs which lead to the crises. It says there are therefore nine signs through which potencies pour, which are creative in their effect. So the nine we've just read are creative in their effect and which produce changes which are needed in the progress of the soul towards divine expression. And then these are worked out, I suppose, in a more dramatic way in these signs of crisis. Interestingly enough, though, Libra has been also considered with Aries a sign of non-crisis. a sign of equilibrium. So there are different perspectives here. All right. One point of interest emerges. All the four arms of the immutable cross are represented in this interrelation, indicating the completed activity of the mutable cross, or of the preparatory stage of evolution which has successfully prepared the man for mounting the fixed cross. Pisces, interestingly, is the last sign on the mutable cross and frequently is found in the transition of the man from the ordinary wheel to the reversing wheel, from the cross of the personality to the cross of the soul. Pisces also is a sign of transition from the cross of the soul to the cross of the spirit. And when the series of incarnations ends in Pisces, one is transferred into the world of the monad, the world of the spirit, and in a sense into Shambhala. The personality is prepared to be the mother of the Christ under the four mutable signs. All of them are here represented. I suppose it's because in these other signs of crisis, we had Leo, Libra, and Capricorn, and none of them were mutable signs. So the four mutable signs were not touched. And the preparation goes on. Now, it's interesting that some of these signs, which are here considered to be creative, are also listed as signs of crisis in the later, in the next section we're going to study. And these signs are Cancer, Aries, Gemini, Scorpio, and Virgo. Five of them are listed as signs of crisis. And in these crises of the soul, the signs which were involved in Leo, Libra, and Capricorn are also listed again, at least some of them. Libra is not, but Capricorn is, and Leo is, though both of them in a different sense than the earlier types of crises. Let us see, because as we begin, the crisis of incarnation, whose quality is individualization, is associated with the constellation Cancer. And we do know that the first, from the Tibetan, that the first mass incarnations were taken in Cancer, and that it is a sign with Gemini and with Leo, much associated with the individualization process. It's the transference of the animal man into the human, although at the beginning there's not really much difference, because it takes a long time for the freshly individualized man to realize the benefits of individualization in self-consciousness. But in any case, individualization here is associated with Cancer and not with Leo. Leo, in terms of a crisis, is given a much higher status. So these signs can repeat themselves in their involvement with various kinds of crises on ever higher turns of the spiral. I mean, we cannot imagine that once a human being has graduated from the human family, crises are over. All forms of life have their crises. Forms of life or beings much higher than the human. Our planetary logos right now is passing through a crisis, and certainly there will be lords of constellations that are associated with those crises, or our planetary logos' crisis, or the crisis of our solar system. We have to remember that the lord of a constellation is a very great being. He's working through a number of solar logoi. And so it is not out of co-measurement to think that if solar angels had a crisis, if globe lords, chain lords, planetary lords had a crisis, that these great constellational lords could be involved, participating, or at least their energies would be used in dealing with such crises. Even so, with the with our solar logos, who is, after all, but one single solar logos, and compared to which the Lord of a constellation is much greater. And so the Lord of the constellation, let us say of Leo, is very intimately connected with our solar logos and the crises through which he might pass. Also, the Lord of the constellation Taurus, and thus the Pleiades, is intimately connected with the development of our solar logos, because in a way our solar logos is following the sixth path, which leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane, which is ruled by the to which the Pleiades has have a great connection. Cosmic Buddhi is one of the major energies of the Pleiades. So we move from smaller contexts to ever larger and ever larger contexts, and the various lords of constellations are involved in these varying contexts. So the crisis of incarnation, which was engineered by the upward striving man, by the downward intent monad, by the beneficent intervention of the solar flames or the solar angels, this occurred in relation to the sign Cancer, but also using the energies of Gemini and Leo as well. That's the period, because, you know, the two aspects were brought together in Gemini, and in Leo, a self-conscious, a potentially self-conscious being was produced. In Cancer, the elemental lives were raised up and brought into connection with solar lives. So we can see the reason for all of them. It says the crisis of orientation. Well, let's see. If we look at the egoic lotus, as I say, individualization occurs in such a way that we are at the very beginning of the process, but none of the petals are unfolded. We have simply the lotuses in bud. We have colorless lotuses growing out of that, and lotuses of closed and sealed condition. It's all very Cancerian in a way, closed in upon itself and not unfolded, as is the case with Leo. Let's see, Cancer. Yeah, so there's not too much to be seen in the egoic lotus on that account. From a certain point of view, we could understand the sign Cancer associated with the very earliest phases of petal unfoldment. Although I have associated Cancer with the fourth petal, beginning in zodiacal order with Aries at the first, there is good reason to think of these early lunar stages and of the petals of ignorance. Well, I would say, let us say particularly the Lemurian petal, as associated in some respects with Cancer. I have not thought of that before, but after all, the very earliest stages of elemental man are connected with the dense physical plane, and so is Cancer. And Cancer is the fourth sign, and the dense physical plane is the fourth in the series of dense physical, etheric, astral, lower mental. So it does represent beginnings, nascent beginnings in incarnation. And for that reason, I think can be associated with the first petal. There are other ways to consider it, but it's a somewhat new thought for me, and I think it has some merit, at least. With Aries, we have the quality of reversal in the crisis of orientation. Now, I'm assuming, in a sense, this is reorientation. We've learned that Uranus is always connected with the reversing of the wheel. And here the man has been treading for a long time the Cancerian path, which is one of slow development in the dense physical world. And he's very much the blind unit who is lost. Yeah, and that reminds me, of course, that those that this particular, there's another chart, I'll show it to you, which we really have to consider in light of the egoic lotus and its unfoldment. And I do believe I have done that. 332, here it is. So there are different phases at which the signs do work. And we can look at all of the signs of the zodiac in terms of the undeveloped man, the advanced man, and the disciple initiate, which in a way means we can consider them in terms of the three tiers of petals. So I'm going to make a note that we definitely have to review that. I have, of course, gone over this extensively in the discussion in esoteric astrology, but this has to be done with respect to the egoic lotus and the petals. You can see how blind, undirected experience of undeveloped man would be very much associated with the first petal. But directed personality effort of advanced man with the fifth petal, and recognition and work with the plan, we can associate with the ninth petal, and all of them under Aries, you see. So, I'm seeing different connections here that I have not seen before, and maybe we will have to examine this particular table in that light. Okay, moving back again. So this crisis of reorientation occurs, I think, very much at the fifth petal, where the apotheosis of that elemental we call the personality, triple personality, or fourfold, depending on how you want to look at it, that occurs on the fifth petal. And the man begins to seek the path to the higher self. Now, we also know that Libra and Leo are involved with that reversal of the wheel. Leo, of course, is associated with the fifth petal, but I also think, as I tried to explain, that Libra should be as well, because the fifth is the very central petal of the nine. And Libra is so often considered the pivot and the place of centrality, the place of neutrality, where one is pulled equally towards the elemental life and towards the spiritual life. Uranus is involved in this reorientation, and Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of... it's so interesting. The hierarchical... Well, really interesting. I just realized something that... I'm going to just try to put this down here so I don't forget. And so Uranus is involved in the crisis of reversal. Now, several signs are involved as well, and these are Aries, Leo, Libra, Scorpio. Those are the ones that I can remember that are involved in the reversal of the wheel. And isn't it interesting that Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of Aries, the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo, the esoteric ruler of Libra, and the exalted planet of Scorpio. There's, of course, one more, and that's Aquarius, and I'm not sure how we would associate Aquarius with the reversal of the wheel, but certainly with a kind of personality fullness, we might say, and with the sense of the wider life, which begins to lure the satisfied personality away from its satisfaction. That is a kind of a contributor to reversal as well. Anyway, that of the signs which Uranus rules or has special significance within, four of them definitely are involved in the reversing process. For Aries, it's always a new beginning, and this crisis of reorientation is occurring before the first initiation, of course, and it is a new type of life that is being led in pursuit of the higher of the pairs of opposites by whatever name one of the pairs of opposites may be called, whether the soul or higher power or maybe the inner God or maybe even God. You know, it's always something higher than what one is doing, and Aries gives that reorientation. Now, interesting that its opposite sign, Libra, does the same. So maybe we can find a way to associate Aries even with this fifth petal. Scorpio already is. Isn't that interesting? Because of the three water signs, Cancer we connect with the fourth petal, Scorpio with the fifth petal of reversal, and then Pisces with the sixth petal, which is the transition point into the world of wisdom. The crisis of initiation, that's a repeat in a way of what we studied above when we studied Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. And it is ruled by Capricorn, and its quality is expansion. Now, this is interesting because when you think of Capricorn, usually, from the exoteric perspective, it is ruled by Saturn in two modes. And Saturn is not particularly a planet of expansion. It's a planet of testing what you have already achieved. And possibly it's a planet of reduction until a correct and solid state is reached, which can be depended upon. But overall, Capricorn has more to it than Saturn. It is a constellation or sign through which the first, third, and seventh rays are expressed. And the first and third can give much of the quality of expansion. Anyway, it has to do with enhanced vision from the top of the mountain, and not only enhanced vision, but enhanced capacity. Now, what have I done here? I knew I labeled it. I'm labeling the initiations is what I'm doing, because a number of these crises now are having to do with the initiations. And so this transfiguration initiation, where the light value within the man emerges dramatically, is one that gives expansion of the causal body, expansion of understanding, expansion of the scope of power. Altogether, it raises man out of his ancient subservience to the personality elemental. It's not complete there, but there is at least the wider world in which he lives. The man then technically lives within the causal body. And when we wish to speak then of what it has to do with the egoic lotus, this crisis of expansion has everything to do with the ninth petal, the complete unfolding of which signals the third initiation. Now we move further on and note an interesting thing, that the crisis of renunciation or crucifixion is connected with Gemini, and of course it is the fourth initiation. Now, Gemini is one of the, it is ruled by Mercury, which is one of the two planets giving us the fourth initiation. Saturn also has a special function in Gemini, allowing the individual to face the dweller. And at the fourth initiation, it's not just the individual dweller anymore, it's the dweller provided by humanity. So both Mercury and Saturn have a interesting relationship connected with Gemini. Mercury will take the man on to the Buddhic level, which is the fourth level, and which is the right of all crucified individuals, those who have gone through the great initiation. It's their right to enter that Buddhic plane in as their point of polarization. We could say that through Gemini, the greater brother definitely assumes complete ascendancy. But in this particular case, it's going to be, in a way, the spiritual triad. following the fourth initiation, the second aspect will be taken by the spiritual triad. So this is another way we can say is that duality is resolved at the fourth initiation. And the earlier splits that a man had achieved are seen within a fluid synthesis, and a great second ray will enter because it is the heart center which will be particularly stimulated in a higher way than the first initiation at the fourth initiation. So Gemini and the heart center and the second ray are all involved here. It is, however, it is an initiation ruled by the fourth ray, and there again, the fourth ray is coming in through one of the rulers of Gemini, and that is Mercury. I'd also like to mention that Gemini is the head of the cosmic Christ, and we can say that when one enters the crucifixion, one is really entering through the heart into the second aspect of divinity. So the Christ connection there is very important. It is, it is actually, in a sense, the initiation with which the image of the Christ is most associated. Of course, the resurrected Christ, the Master, and even the higher Chohan, is known to esotericists, the resurrected Christ, however, to humanity. But if one wants to go through the Christ experience, this crucifixion is needed, and it is the utmost sacrifice in the spirit of love. And there comes the second ray of Gemini and the idea of Gemini's connection with the head of the cosmic Christ. The crisis of the battlefield. Well, you know, right away we recognize Scorpio, of course, the great warring sign most associated with the second initiation. And it really is a conflict between the soul and the personality in three different levels. Maybe the most arduous level is the emotional level. And that's why Scorpio is most associated with the second initiation. So this is fairly straightforward. Where will we find that? Well, when we go into the petals of the egoic lotus, we're going to look at petal number 8, which is the Scorpio petal. We're also going to look at some of the battles that occur in petal number 5 between the higher self and the lower self. Should we say the higher of the pairs of opposites and the lower. It's also a Scorpio petal, and DK talks about lives of turmoil there. This will lead finally to the first initiation in which Scorpio is also involved, and then a deeper psychological crisis, many forms of mastery. Scorpio is a sign of mastery in a way. It's a sign of control, certainly. It's not only a fourth ray constellation of sign, it has a lot of the first ray in it. It is, after all, the sign of Hercules. So the mastery has to occur between the first and the second initiation. And that mastery is going to be worked on in the eighth petal, which is the scorpionic petal, and which, when sufficient abnormal effort, abnormal strenuous effort has been exercised by the man, and when the emotional body Interestingly enough, the purification of the emotional body can be connected with petal number six. After all, the emotional body is number six. Petal number six is there. It's a Virgo petal with a lot of the sixth ray in it. So we have a process of mastery going on under Scorpio. The astral body is being mastered. And then when sufficient work has been done in the sacrificed petal of love, which is the Scorpio petal, then the rod of initiation will again be applied by the Christ, and the second degree initiate will stand forth, and the unfolding of the sixth petal will indicate that a great change has occurred within the astral body, and there is plenty of the second ray there now. It can reflect love. We have to remember also that Scorpio is the sign associated with the Buddhic plane. If we look at the table of, how can I do this? This is the Fellowship of Cosmic Fire. Right, this is the way I'll do it. And I'll get to our Buddhic plane in just a moment. We'll open this. Always have to have two open. And then we reach this familiar, long familiar chart by now, and we see that indeed Scorpio rules the human hierarchy and the Buddhic plane, and it's precisely the Buddhic plane that we need its energy in order to transform the astral body at the second initiation into an instrument of love rather than an instrument of desire. So in a way, Venus is triumphing here, and even though it's in detriment in Scorpio, it is controlling more the astral body, and Mars is falling away, even though it rules Scorpio. So the battles within the astral body per se are reduced at this point. So when we're passing through this crisis of the second initiation, much work to be done in the eighth petal, and consummatory achievements occurring in the sixth petal, which we can associate in a way with the purified astral vehicle. After all, three petals, four, five, and six, are the petals of love for the astral plane. And by the time we reach petal number six, ruled by Virgo, at least in one sense, we're going to have the necessary purification of that vehicle due to the many struggles under Scorpio which have been lived through. So, and when there's work being done in petal number eight and petal number six, we can be pretty sure that we can't leave petal number seven out of it. The growing knowledge of how things really are, the knowledge of the ageless wisdom and of occultism and so forth, are going to be active in helping the individual achieve his goal. Okay, then we look at the crisis of the birthplace. And that is, of course, initiation number one. Now, there are a number of different signs that one can associate with that. We can associate Capricorn, of course, the whole Christmas story, and this is the birth of the Christ in the heart, and the deity coming down into the densest form, we might say. And Virgo prepares for that. There's this whole gestation period which brings to birth in Capricorn. And there's all different kinds of signs one can associate with the first initiation for different reasons, and we will discuss that as we are going through the petals. But, you know, Leo is involved, a new identity, the birth of the Christ. Aries, it's a new beginning. Gemini decade definitely connects Gemini with the first degree, because a relationship is now set up between the Christ self and the personal self, and others as well, of course. We'll discuss that as we go. When is this first initiation occurring in terms of the egoic lotus petals? Well, it's occurring when work is being done in the seventh petal. The mind is expanding. All knowledge that one has is being used. Continuing work on purification in the sixth petal is occurring. And what happens is the fifth petal, which is in a way a petal of identity, either personal identity or a new kind of identity, which is more identified with the higher of the pairs of opposites, that fifth petal is a time when identity emerges. And so when it is completely unfolded, I think we can judge that the man is the aspirant and has visioned a higher self, is increasingly identifying with that higher self. I do kind of wonder what the egoic lotus would look like for one who chose to continue along the path of selfishness and continue to emphasize the lower Leo, which has been associated with the Black Lodge and with materialism. And it's so interesting that certain places where the Black Lodge really emerged have had a powerful Leo component to their energy structure. You just look at ancient imperial Rome, that is one of them where Leo is so powerful. You know, the whole idea of the emperor emerged and the sole authority. Also, when we're looking here for Leo, we find France with its Leo personality. And at the time of the French kings, it is said that the Black Lodge was active. Then you look at Germany. It's not a Leo country, but its leader was powerfully Leo. Leo was so strong in his personal horoscope, having Saturn elevated in Leo. And also, DK says even more significantly that it was powerful in his horoscope and related to his soul. When we talk about soul, you know, even those that are tending towards the Black Lodge have soul. It is consciousness. And human beings, even on the left-hand path, have developed the causal body to a certain extent. They will have had to, I don't think they, well, they can even reach the second initiation, and that would mean that two tiers of petals would be unfolded for them. And one wonders if the second degree initiate who is correctly tending and the initiate that is tending off towards the Black Lodge, both having taken the second degree, would there, in some technical way that we don't know, would their egoic lotuses look different from each other? I mean, this is a very technical question because, you know, you have to have a certain amount of the love energy developed. Of course, DK says love is not the word, really. And he begins to talk about magnetism and how magnetism can be used either for good or for ill. So we can understand the magnetic power of the second tier of petals in those that are tending towards the left-hand path. But it always seems to me that they would draw more upon the knowledge tier than upon the love tier. And yet, because some of them can even be second-degree initiates, they have to have completely developed the love tier. And the amazing thing, to me at least, since Christ is the initiator, and let's look at the modern members of those that are on the left-hand path, they have to have stood before the Christ. And they have to have been blessed by the Christ and loved by the Christ two times, unless I'm missing something here, because they even can be initiates of the second degree. And yet, because free will is as it is, they still have the power to embrace the dweller as themselves rather than turn away from it. They just don't pass the tests in the desert of the world, the flesh, and the devil, albeit on a lower turn of the spiral than the Christ in the body of Jesus was encountering this, but still for the human being significant. They don't pass those tests, and in a way, DK says they become the dweller, the manipulator of souls on the third ray, the deluder of souls on the second ray, and the destroyer of souls on the first ray. And, you know, you kind of look at Hitler and it seemed, well, maybe Goebbels was the manipulator of souls. I don't know how advanced he was. He was a Scorpio with Leo rising, of all things. And Hitler more along the line of the destroyer of souls, it seems to me, with his definitely, I would say, first-ray soul, definitely first-ray soul. Well, maybe a little bit of a deviation there, but, you know, you're looking at the causal body here, and you're looking at these initiatory crises which people are going to pass through, and you want to know what area of the egoic lotus is involved when these crises are the focus of the life of the man passing through them. And, you know, so many of us as disciples and probationary initiates are passing through the first and second degree on the way to the third degree, and we will experience these crises, and within our egoic lotus, the development will occur. And when the days of clairvoyance are with us, we should be able to look at what's going on in the egoic lotus. And, well, I suppose you could even see it in the chakra system of the etheric body. But you could look in the egoic lotus, and you could see what crisis of initiation or pre-initiation is occurring. Now, we go on to yet another, and this is the crisis of the burning ground, liberation. Well, that's not the crisis. It's almost like Leo is the beginning and the end, you know. Leo signifies the entrance into the human kingdom, and Leo is said to be the most human of all the signs. So in the other series of three crises, we had the crisis of individualization. Really, I think that Cancer and Leo together are very much involved in this individualization process. So that was one place that Leo was occurring. Now, we also know that when you're taking the first initiation, Leo is the sign to watch for, because people tend to take the first initiation in that sign or under that sign. And I think we could find a way in which Leo and the Sun are involved in all the initiations. You know, the kind of illumination that occurs at the third degree is a definitely solar and Leo factor, the great enlightenment, with both of them being the symbol of enlightenment and Leo having the will to illumine. You know, and emerging as a loving being whose astral body can reflect the qualities of the heart rather than just the solar plexus. This is Leo at the second initiation with the Sun. And there is a great destruction of a lower part of Leo and the Sun at the fourth degree. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see it showing up in the horoscopes of people who were taking the fourth, and certainly, and here we are now, the crisis of the burning ground. This, to me, is the fifth degree. The constellation is Leo, okay. It's not that you cannot experience the energies of the fixed cross once you have destroyed the causal body. No, the energy of all these crosses can appear in much higher mode. And so what is this burning ground, and what is being burned away? And, well, it's not just the causal body. I mean, from a certain point of view, the causal body is being burned away, and there are various modes of destroying the causal body, not all of which seem to be akin to burning. For the sixth ray causal body, self-immolation immolation is the way to go, but there are other methods of destruction. So to me, it looks like the burning ground, purging oneself of all human limitations as one prepares for the great revelation of that which lies beyond, including a revelation of the cosmic path which one will have to prepare to travel. In the earlier days, everything keeps rising in demand and requirement, but in the earlier days, it was at the fifth initiation that one made that choice about which of the cosmic paths one would be taking. Now, that is at the sixth, the choice is made. But the revelation of what they are and what it takes to tread them and how to prepare and all of that, that is occurring at the fifth initiation. Now, liberation is very interesting here. There is a kind of liberation that occurs at the fourth degree. But he's not calling the fourth degree liberation here. It's crucifixion. And there's a lot of fallout. There's a lot of debris from the destruction of the causal body. It has to be cleared, and everything has to become less and less distorted by even the previous human perspective, and all that which remained of the previous structures have to be cleared away, or maybe we can say burned away, a final burning. Now, you know, the path which leads from the base of the spine to the top of the head is here involved, because it's at the fifth degree that we expect a great flourishing of the top of the head. The fifth initiation is still administered by Sanat Kumara in his mode as Uranus, and Uranus is the hierarchical, the veiled hierarchical ruler of Leo. And, of course, it is the planet of liberation par excellence. And at the fifth degree, Pluto is the main chakra to deal with, which is the center of will. Well, we have a burning ground, in a way, created from the chakra of will, ruled by Pluto, all the way up to the chakra of purpose, which is ruled by Uranus at this time. So Uranus will be at least a ruler of the highest center, and there must be a burning. It's not the little burning grounds that we experience before the lower initiations, which burn away from us the dross, which keep us from resonating with that which is on the further side of the door. This is a final burning, and I believe, if I check this out, I'm going to use this, final burning ground, and let's see what it says. Okay, so the potency of Uranus produced the flaming heat of the final burning ground. Well, in this series of initiations, at least it is so. The flaming heat of the final burning ground. Uranus leads the soul to the burning ground during the final stages of the path. We can consider that leading to mastership. There are other stages of the path, and Uranus will also be involved in the burning ground, which can bring about resurrection at the seventh initiation, along with Aries, the sign of resurrection. The final stages of the path, when the fire of Aries and the fires engendered through the potency of Uranus produce the flaming heat of the final burning ground. Through this burning ground, the initiate has finally to pass. Uranus rules the occult way and is, in an esoteric sense, connected with the Hierophant of the mysteries of initiation, and especially with Sanat Kumara, I think, even though Saturn and Venus are so much connected with him. So we could be, you know, Leo, it seems to me, rules the burning ground that precedes the fifth initiation. Aries rules the burning ground which precedes the seventh initiation. And maybe DK does mean here, by final burning ground, the burning ground before the seventh degree. But we're only considering five initiations thus far. And it seems to me that Uranus, veiled in Leo by the sun, is also involved in this very intense burning ground, which is basically signifies the culmination of Kundalini rising from Pluto to Uranus, giving us, it's going to be liberation from the fourth kingdom of nature, complete liberation. We don't have to incarnate anymore when we are initiates of the fourth degree, unless we do so by an act of will. But it seems to me that since the master stands as the apotheosis of what the human being is, and he's liberated into his full humanity and at the same time liberated from any of the limitations of humanity as he sets off on the path to become a Chohan. And of the Chohans, DK says, they are no longer men as are the masters, but having passed beyond that lesser stage, have linked themselves to the great council in the highest secret place. So we see a very different Leo here than the Leo of individualization, than the Leo of the first initiation, where we're entering for the first time the realm of the soul, entering into the hall of wisdom, however tentatively, and then the Leo of the fifth initiation. There's also another Leo, maybe four stages. The Leo of individualization, Leo of magnificent personality expression at the fifth petal, where the man becomes colossal, in the words of DK. The Leo of the first initiation, where you begin to change your identity and enter into the aspect of the sun, S-O-N. The three fire signs, Aries the father, Leo is the sun, and Sagittarius is the Holy Spirit, the personality, and so forth. So we have Leo fittingly connected with the aspect where the sun, S-O-N, comes into play as the growing and major source of inspiration and source of attraction. And then we have Leo at the fifth degree. The fifth sign, fifth degree, the symbol can be, again, the sun, the symbol for the master. Leo indicates the blazing mastership of the man who has achieved the fifth degree and the revelation in the light which has come to him. Okay, well, in some of these later ones, we don't imagine that the causal body will have much to do with the process, because the causal body will have been destroyed. But in the final burning ground, all of the vestiges of what it meant to be confined to the human race have to be burned up. And this final burning ground is, in a way, the path of fire between the base of the spine and the highest head center, and then all of the energies are focused in that highest head center, which is interestingly connected with the atmic plane, which is the plane which signifies the achievement of mastership, just like the monadic plane signals the achievement of Chohanship. Well, there's a lot here, and basically, you see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at crises. Let's just review them very quickly. The crisis of incarnation, individualization, constellation Cancer, crisis of orientation or reorientation, quality reversal, Aries, crisis of initiation, expansion is the third initiation, constellation is Capricorn, crisis of renunciation, crucifixion is the quality, fourth initiation, and the constellation is Gemini, crisis of the battlefield, conflict, it's the second initiation, and Scorpio is the sign, crisis of the birthplace, initiation to begin with, the very first initiation, and Virgo leads up to that, and several signs, including, interestingly enough, Leo and Capricorn, and even Libra. Again, all of them we can find at that first initiation, because Libra is going to rule the sacral center, which has to be lifted to the throat, and Leo entering the new kingdom, and Capricorn, the first of five initiations, it being the major sign of initiation. So you see how combinations of signs can be discussed in different contexts and in relation to different phases of human unfoldment, and then the crisis of the burning ground. Maybe we cannot call it the final burning ground, because maybe that is before resurrection, but it is leading to liberation from the human kingdom as a master. Okay, friends, we will go on to something else very shortly. We have this egoic lotus table, and well, I'll have to choose one of these for further discussion. We have just looked at, I think the centers and discipleship would be a good one. So what we have done right now is crises of the soul, and for the moment we are complete with that, even though there's always so much more one can say if one studied the subject exclusively. We're trying to study this subject in relation. That's our work. So I will just say that this is the end of Egoic Lotus webinar commentary number program 14. And we have been largely, it's 1 hour and about 2 minutes or something like that. Maybe I shouldn't be counting. Yeah, it's about 1 hour and 2 minutes. Okay. Okay, and we'll be beginning number 15, Egoic Lotus webinar commentary program 15. Okay. I trust there is some food for thought there. I certainly think there is. It's got me thinking, and I've seen some new things, always seeing new things, which I didn't see before. Okay, we'll see you soon as we continue. Bye-bye.